Hello everyone, good, as we would say in Dutch, before noon. No, good morning. I'm here to present the presentation with the longest title, Fully Open Source Education Tool to Stimulate Logical Reasoning. So first, before we delve into that, short, who am I? My name is Simon van der Velde. I'm a postdoctoral researcher at the University of KU Leuven, but Campus Den Haag, they really want me to say that. Where I research knowledge-based AI, right? But besides the fact that I am this researcher, I also really have a penchant for education and educating programming. So for instance, as a student job for 5 years, I've always been a programming teacher in my weekends, and currently I'm also the dojo lead of the Coder Dojo Messe. So just to show that I really like to do these things. And then at one point, I wanted to combine these two, and I wanted to fit this into my research, which I kind of did, maybe perhaps not fully, but it's in my PhD thesis, so it worked out in the end. So I'm here to present FOLLY, which stands for First Order Logic Learning Environment. I thought of this name, I thought, yes, what a great name. FOLLY also means something else in English, so it's a great acronym, until I found out that FOLLY means idiocy. So I misjudged that one, but the name stuck, so I kept to it. The goal of FOLLY is to teach first-order logic to children aged 8 to 13-year-olds, or just children in general. We've also done it with 18-year-olds who are, of course, much older. So for FOLL, those who may not be familiar with it, first-order logic are these sentences. You might recognize these sentences from math classes, these scary upside-down A's, the flipped over E's. These sentences, for instance, say that for every X, it holds that if they are a human, then they are also an animal. And then it does the same thing, saying that every animal is mortal. And this can allow us to do deduction, such as if I now tell you that I am a human, I can deduce that I am an animal, and therefore that I am also mortal. Right? So that's the idea of FOLL. So why do we want to teach FOLL? Well, it's an important foundation of many fields, such as maths, philosophy, psychology even. There's a huge aspect to FOLL, but also computer science in general. It's an important cornerstone, right? But it also helps with computational thinking, which is a very important important aspect. I teach a course on computational thinking, so that's very nice. It's also a pillar of AI. You might not think of it as such, but really, first-order logic and logic-based AI is still alive and kicking. Those of you who know expert systems, take that into 2025, and we still exist. But it also sharpens the reasoning skills in general. To show you an example of something that we want to teach children is the weights and selection task. Okay, so you are shown four cards. And on each card, there's a number on one side and a color on the other side, right? So you get shown these four cards. Maybe with the color, it's not so easy, but so there's a 3 and 8, a blue card, and a red card, right? So remember, on the other side, there's always a number or a color. I now tell you that every card with an even number must also have a blue backside, right? And now it's up to you to see, to verify if that is actually true. But you want to do that with as few cards as possible. So which cards would you need to flip to verify that every card with an even number has a blue backside? Okay. Unless you know it already, then of course don't say it. But if you want to do a guess, anyone who wants to do a guess who thinks their guess might be incorrect? You would do 3? Okay. Well, not what I expected, but it's a great guess, yes? Any other guesses? You can also do multiple cards, of course. Yeah. You would do the second card, right? You would do the 8? And then blue, right. Who of you would do 8 and blue? Okay, apparently no one. Okay, multiple people would do 8 and blue. It turns out 8 and blue is the most often occurring choice by children or by adults in general, because we would think that you need to check 8 and blue, but that's incorrect. In reality, you need to check 8 and red. Why? I said that every even card has a blue backside. So that means that the 8 you need to check to see that it is blue, And the red one, you need to check that it's not even on the other side, that it's an uneven number. The blue one, I don't care about. If the blue one is even or uneven, really, I don't care, because an uneven number can have any color it wants. I only say what should happen in the case of an even number. And this is a very easy example of where linguistics, where our human conception of an if-then goes wrong. But in first-order logic, everything is precise, everything is non-ambiguous, so there it is clear that you would need to check the 8 and the red. So, yeah, solution, wow. So there's some difficulties in teaching full. Well, it doesn't do anything. In Scratch, I guess a lot of you might be familiar with Scratch. You have these nice blocks, you have this cat. The cat can meow, the cat can move around. That's all very cool. But first order logic doesn't do anything. It's just boring sentences. It also has a very steep learning curve, because there are these linguistical differences that you need to be aware of before you can actually start modeling correct false sentences. Really, it takes a very long time to be able to well-versed enough in full to present correct sentences. We also have these scary mathematical symbols, which haunt your nightmares. Yeah, this at least was my experience when I was a child. I really hated it, and then I started research in it. I don't know how that happened. Somewhere along the way, I started liking it, I guess. So like I said, it's also not fun. There's no animations, there's no sound, there's graphics. So we wanted to build a better learning environment. I have a more detailed screenshot. Yeah, this doesn't really tell us a lot, other than, you know, this has a lot of syntax, this has scary red lines, this has things that can be typed incorrectly. These are all things that children, 8 to 13-year-olds, they won't like doing these things. So our design goals for this tool were as follows. Firstly, we wanted to do something with the representation of full. We wanted to have no finicky syntax, so basically it should be a bit syntax-less. It should have a clear structure. We also really wanted to encourage trial and error and experimentation. We wanted children to be able to work in groups, and if you put them in front of a computer and there's only one mouse and one keyboard, as every computer has, then it's difficult to work together, because always one child will have the upper hand, and you can't really say, I take the left side of the keyboard, you take the right side of the keyboard. That's a bit a weird way of working. So those are the things that we really want to encourage. Then on the other hand, we wanted them to have a nice task to do, right? Which should focus on model theory, which maybe not everyone knows, but it's an important aspect. It should focus on model theory. It should give clear and immediate feedback, because again, we want this interactivity. It should gradually increase in difficulty, and it should be, of course, engaging and fun. But what application domain do we use? So I've told you a task, I've told you about our representation, but we still don't know what problem domain we will be working in. Also, let me remove my cursor, perhaps. Right, so for the application domain, we selected robot designs. So we drew these fun, cartoony robots, very colorful, right? They are very compelling in a way. And for these robots, each component can have a different color. So you can see here, they have arms, they have legs. Each of these things can have a different color, and they may also wear a hat. And that's it. That's our application domain. These are the things that our children will represent rules or represent knowledge over in general. Then the second aspect was the notation. So, of course, we went for a blocks-based notation inspired by Scratch and so many other similar approaches, where they could express fairly simple expressions over these robots. So here, for instance, you see that there's a block for each, holds that. In this for each, they can put this pill-shaped thing, which in this case is components. The component, of course, needs a name, because basically what they're doing, they're quantifying over a variable. So this is the scary upside down A, which is now a nice looking block. So they say for each component, which we call C, must hold that its color must be red, right? And in this way, the sentences have a more natural reading as well. So you can, whenever they are debugging what they are doing, I can simply tell a child, can you read to me what you have expressed using these blocks? And in doing that, they typically are able to find their error more quickly. However, like I said, using the mouse does not stimulate collaboration. Mouse and keyboard, we don't want to use. So what we did, we took it one step further, and we actually laser cut out these blocks out of plywood. And the Blocks are then engraved with their intended meaning. This is in Dutch, I'm sorry. But basically, these are blocks like is a leg, where's a helmet, and or is an arm, X. We have red, blue, green, right arm, all these components. Everything you need to express these rules are there. And that makes it tangible, puzzle-like. You can see it, you can see these blocks in front of you, and you can immediately start puzzling with them, and you can put them together. And what's nice is that sometimes you don't necessarily know yet what you want to express or what you need to express something. As say that they need something to say something about the color of the left arm, for instance, then they don't necessarily need to know, they don't necessarily know yet how to do that, but they might see the block color off, which in the left-hand side has a circle, the right-hand side has a square, and then they think, okay, so I need a circle and a square. So they have this guided way of looking how to construct their sentences, right? So then for the task, the children are shown 7 robots. So there's 3 good robots and 3 bad robots. And they need to express to the computer, basically, what a good robot has that the bad robot doesn't. So basically, what distinguishes good robots from bad robots? That's the main idea. And like we say, we call this explain this to the computer, because that's, we can't really tell them how you will express full sentences. They don't know what that means. So we say explain to a computer what distinguishes good from bad. So for example, this could be something like the left leg is blue. That's an easy one. Or if the robot wears a helmet, it must also have a green arm, more tricky. Or every component that is an arm or a leg must be colored green. That's actually the very final level. So here's an example, showing us a bit of a closer look on actually what the children see. So like I said, it's very small for those in the back, I'm very sorry. But they're shown 3 good robots on the left-hand side, 3 bad robots on the right-hand side, and they must distinguish good from bad. In this case, the child wants to say that the robot has a red right arm, but he expressed left arm, right? But this also shows the interactivity a bit. As soon as he creates a sentence, the computer picks it up. I'll get to that later. But the computer picks it up, shows the effect of the rule on the center robot, and then for each of the individual robots shows whether or not they are correct according to the sentence. So on the left-hand side, you see that the 3 robots are correct. On the right-hand side, you can see that 2 of them are correctly incorrect. Makes no sense, but you get what I mean. Whereas the center one is still valid according to his rule. So his rule is incorrect. Yes. Now, Foley itself, this basically is just a box which contains the following components: a Raspberry Pi with a camera, an LED backlight, a set of blocks, and each of these blocks is then annotated with Aruku markers. And so for those of you who do not know, Aruku markers are simplified QR codes, you can think of it. And it is also one of the cornerstones of computer vision. And they're very, very easy to pick up. So if my image had been larger, you could have seen that this block had a very small Aruku marker on it. And it's that the computer sees. And the computer sees all of these blocks from the bottom side of the box. The camera basically looks up. They put all of their blocks on a see-through pane. And the computer then knows, it identifies each block, and it knows for each block where it expects another block. And in this way, what they are doing is effectively programming or shaping an abstract syntax tree, if that means anything to you. But they can express all of these sentences. And that also makes it completely generic. Anything they can express, the computer will be able to pick up. So there are no pre-programmed sentences that can be or shouldn't be correct. It's all, basically they are truly writing first order logic. So all you need to run this is an HDMI monitor. That's also part of the fun. So it's this box. I would have loved to bring it, but I forgot. this is very stupid, I know. But so it's just a box. It's like this big. It's Not heavy at all because there's only a Raspberry Pi in there, right? You just plug in an HDMI monitor, you stick it in a socket, and Bob's your uncle, you have a fully realized, fully set up. So the application that I've shown is built in Python. It uses Pygame for the interface, uses OpenCV for computer vision, and then this is the important part, this is why it's my research as well. It uses IDPZ3 as a full evaluator. Not really relevant here, I just wanted to stress that if there are any people who gave me grant money watching this, this is related to my research. But what's nice about using a full evaluator, like I said, as so we don't have any preconceived notion of what is a correct sentence, what is a bad sentence, every sentence is always fully checked. So if a child comes up with a completely different way that is correct, the system will also count it as being correct, because we don't hard code correctness. We just evaluate it on the fly. And that's quite nice. It can also be annoying when you make a difficult level in which, for instance, you want the child to express that every component must be green, which is a bit difficult, but the child coincidentally spots that no bad robot has a green right foot, so they just say, has a green right foot, and then your entire learning curve is shattered. But after a while, you pick these up, and you find all these mistakes. So like I said, whenever a full statement is detected, it is evaluated, and then we show the results. I have some nice images here, which I realize are very small from the back, for which, again, I am truly sorry. But I can show these later, and you can come up if you want. So these are children playing around with the boxes. As you can see, they are working together as much as possible, putting it on this see-through pane, and then the computer can reason with that. Right. So I can come back to that later. Why am I here at FOSDEM? Of course, because this is fully open source. Really, everything that I've mentioned here is online in some way or another. So all the code is open source. Everything is ready to laser cut. So I just have a big SVG file that contains how to, or contains the blocks themselves. It contains the boxes, because of course, once you start laser cutting one thing, you laser cut everything. That's the issue of laser cutting. So the boxes are also laser cut. The see-through pane was cut by the Gamma, but still, you can also get these things quite easily. It's very cheap to build as well, because all you need is a Raspberry Pi, and now that their prices have gone down a bit again, I think it's like $60 to get a full box done, if you have a laser cutter like near you. All right. What we are still doing, however, is building a step-by-step guide on how to build it, but really it's not that difficult. And also we are setting up a program at our university to allow schools to loan out a box for a day. Because it's if you just build a box and then have fun for it with 30 minutes, that's it. You don't really want to do that. So if a school wants to loan out these boxes, we have them available anyway, they can do so. All right, I have a thank you slide, but before you get that, I think I still have time. I have a video which says, we're having troubles on my end, but maybe not on this end. Okay, my cursor is not cooperating. What is this cursed HTML element? How do I drop out of full screen mode? Okay. I see what is going on here. I need to move to my other thing. There we go. We're getting there. Okay. So here you can see them. Oh, there's even audio. Wow. You can see how they are putting things on the table or on the screen, rather. It will pick it up soon. Yeah, sometimes the children, they make their sentences on the table and then put it on the screen, which is not very smart, but whatever. So it's loading. There we go. These are the results. You can really see that their brains are thinking. The gray matter is stimulated. I'm not a videographer. It's not the best video, but just goes to show you how this works. And then after this, I cut it off because the program crashed. I fixed that crash. I have another video of 1 minute if I have time. So what's also nice is that at our university, we get to organize children university events where children actually get to come. And typically when I give a Folly workshop, because we frequently do workshops for children, we start with explaining to them that you need to program your computer, because they typically don't realize this yet, as many of children nowadays, at least in my previous workshop last week, think that a computer is a chatbot that you can talk to, and my heart starts bleeding, which I guess is what a heart does in a way, but not bleeding in the best way. Okay, how do I? Yes, another video of more time if I enable my JavaScript. Oh my god. I need to enable robot.mp4. Oh, fuck. I have no idea why this happens. It worked yesterday. When in doubt, switch to Chromium, unfortunately. Chromium. Let's see if that works. No, I have no idea. Okay, doesn't matter. I can always show it later if you want to see. But I wanted to show that when we host these workshops, we try to tell them that you need to program a computer, and the way we do is we do it, do this, oh my god, is with the pancake robot, where the children need to explain to a human who acts as a robot how to make a pancake with choco or Nutella, I guess I should say. And I just had a nice video of where the robot is instructed to put the knife, and he puts the knife in the wrong way, and the children all laugh at this. Just wanted to show it because it's always fun to see. All right, with that being said, I think my slides are now completely broken. Okay, I'll stick on the thank you. No, let's not. I'll stick on the image slide, and we can go to the questions.
So I have a question. Let's say I don't know anything about Folly, as in how it works. I got the box.
Yeah.
I made it.
Yeah.
I would like to host something. How much time do I need to prepare myself so I can get started with the kids?
Great question. Well, on the one hand, I could give you... sorry, I had to repeat the question. Your question is, how difficult is it to do it as an adult? That's what it boils down to. It's not so difficult. Many of these levels are really self-explanatory if you know what you need to look for. And because you are older and, I guess, wiser than a child, you will be able to do many of these things much more easily. However, there are some levels where a jump is very, the jump in difficulty isn't so gradual. Once you start explaining how an if-then works, it's not easy to do that, really. And there's one level where you really need to help children to realize that they need an if-then. And I guess that if you as an adult don't know it either, that will be a very difficult level. But of course, I can also give you the solution sheet. But so typically when I get an assistant for these workshops, I just show them the levels in 5 minutes and they know it for the rest of their lives. So it's not so difficult.
In which languages it's available?
Excellent question. In which language is it available? I don't think you mean programming language, right?
No.
Yes. So it is completely in Dutch for now. However, it's not so difficult to change it. So the code itself is completely English. Everything, yeah, really is in English there, but the blocks are engraved in Dutch. So that's the only thing. If you engrave it in a different language, that's it. That also shows another limitation. All the blocks are limited to the robot domain because they are engraved with the intended meaning of the robot blocks. However, it's not so difficult. These Aruco markers are really universally implemented. And if you just use the same Aruco marker, but, I don't know, talk about planes, everything will work as well. Out of the box. But that's why we need this build guide to be completely finished, so that that process is easier.
Yeah, on the video and in the photos, I see a common pattern that kids like prepare the things on the table, sitting, then they stand up and put it on the board, because boards are pretty high.
Yeah.
So you can see that you have to stand to work with
them. Yes. Yeah, so the question is, the boxes are pretty high, the children need to stand up to do it, so they tend to make their sentences on the table instead and then move it over. That is quite a difficult thing to fix, unfortunately, because it's the camera that needs to be able to see the entire screen from the inside of the box. So we could use like a fish eye camera, but then the detection becomes a bit more difficult. But really, it's just the children being lazy. Just stand up. you already sit down so much every day. Yeah, no, but indeed, it depends from child to child. However, some 8-year-olds, even when standing up, aren't tall enough, and they need to stand on a table. So that is an annoyance, and it's something that we're looking into.
It's like blaming UI problems on users. It's like not ideal. Maybe you could put it on a chair. It would work better.
Yeah, of course. Those things are possible. All right, so my time is up, but if you have more questions, I'll be around here most likely. So thank you very much.